You're listening to Recap.fm's coverage of the Amazon Prime original series, The Boys. This will be a recap of Season 1, Episode 7, The Self-Preservation Society. My name's Jason.
My name's Seal.
The credits are rolling. Let's talk. All right, so we start off this episode, a little blast from the past. We're at a Vought Christmas party, like, what was it? Eight years ago. Yeah. 8 years in the past. And we got all clean shaven, looking good, Billy Butcher.
Yeah, beardless Butcher.
With his lady totally existing and by his side still, Becca. Awesome opening.
Yes.
Yeah, it was cool. It was actually kind of relieving to see Butcher not mad.
Yeah, he's like a normal happy dude.
Yeah, just having conversations, and yeah, it was kind of nice.
Putting back a beer, chilling at the bar.
Kicking it.
Yeah.
Meeting people he didn't really want to meet, but who could blame him? I'm in the same scenario. I go to any party like that, I am like, all right, who do I have to talk to? How long do I have to talk to them?
And when can I leave? Yeah.
Yes. So I'm totally with Billy on that situation. So, but then it gets a little weird because we run into Homelander. So the introduction of Billy meeting Homelander. Turns out Becca's like a social media marketing rep, and she's covering all of the Seven's social media presence. And Homelander has an uncomfortable familiarity with her.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's like, okay. I mean, he tries to play it off like, hey, you did such a good job with my Twitter account, blah, 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 taking over. I want to talk to you about, you know, taking over all my social media. Da, da, da. It's like, dude. Yeah, you could send a memo.
Exactly. And you can already feel like Billy's kind of like, look at this fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
You got superpowers. Who cares?
Yeah, you need to step back, son. That's my wife.
I'm the same way. Like, anything that happens, I'm like, yeah, maybe I can't take this guy, but fuck it. I'm going to keep the shit beat out of me if I'm, you know, put in that situation. And, well, I'm not going to not say anything. So,
yeah.
But, you know, he's Butcher. So, even with that situation, he's not as bad as he would have been now. Now he would have just strapped a bomb to everybody and blown up the whole place. So he's come a long way from being pretty calm Butcher to bloodlust.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone Butcher.
He was definitely a different person back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really just like a setup to what was to kind of unfold with Homelander and Becca and the unfortunate and terrible situation went on. And
the series of unfortunate events.
Yes, yes, as it were. So, it was a good opener. It was like nice to see, like I said, Butcher in that setting where he wasn't just hell-bent on killing all the Supes. And he was there kind of socializing.
And so he just didn't care about them back then. So,
right. Yeah, it was just like, whatever. They whenever exist. Dude. I exist. Move on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So moving over onto Huey and Annie's relationship, it gets real.
For reals, y'all.
If we were in Game of Thrones, there would have been a bedding ceremony. To them, there was a bedding ceremony. They consummated the relationship. Things have gone to the next level. But they have a pretty real post-coital, if you will, conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They do.
And she's asking some hard questions.
Yeah, as you should. You should probably ask those hard questions before.
Well,
you know. But, you know, that's not what the writers wrote. So,
well, you're most vulnerable right after. So,
oh, sure. I mean, it could have been a very calculated move on her part.
Either person have seen you in your most vulnerable state, maybe some of your more uncomfortable angles. And so, yeah, that's a great time to ask super intense questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, no big deal.
No big. But, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, Huey just kind of has to brush over some things. It does set up some foreshadowing to what's to come with potentially a breakdown in their relationship. And we see that. We see that unfold later, and we'll get to that. But, yeah, so Homelander lays out the truth for Annie, basically explaining to her that – and forgive me if I'm skipping around any. I'm just kind of going off of some notes I took.
That's cool.
But to kind of get where we are, so he basically has a meeting. He brings what's left of the seven together, which is
– the five.
Five. And he tells them, you know, what's up. He asks a lot of questions of Annie. He's like, hey, who do you think this guy is? And he reveals that, you know, A-Train blasted through his girlfriend. This guy wants revenge on you. And he's a part of this group called the Boys, led by this guy, Billy Butcher. And
they killed Translucent.
Exactly.
And so, she's like, no way. Huey's not capable of murder.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, but we all know that he is.
We know that he is, but she's not stupid.
No.
You know, thinking that he doesn't have the typical personality of someone who is capable of such things, you know, but people surprise you. But
sure. The fact of the matter is pretty much everyone is capable of anything.
You're right.
Given enough rope. I mean,
put in the right situation. Yeah.
My favorite.
Given enough rope. That's perfect.
One of my favorite written, it's not even a line from a movie. If you ever go and read the screenplay for The Last Boy Scout.
And, oh, yeah.
And there's a fake quote at the beginning from of one of the main characters. And he writes something to the effect of, imagine the one person, you know, that wouldn't do anything wrong, that never, you know, that would never plant a foot wrong, that would always do the right thing. And now imagine the worst possible thing they can do, and then assume that they've already done it twice.
Damn.
Yeah, it's cold-blooded. But people are capable. Dude, unfortunately, yeah. That's the world we live in.
It is. And it's, you know, it's helpful for people to realize that sooner rather than later. And it's not like a, like, live your life knowing that you can't trust anybody around you. But it's just knowing that people are human.
Right. You got to take people with a grain of salt. And that's, exactly. Yeah, and it's not, you know, don't ever trust anybody. No, you have to trust people because we have to trust, we have to love each other because otherwise society doesn't function. And that's just no way to live. But just understand that, you know what? This person that you love is going to plant a foot wrong sometimes.
Right.
And
it's also why it's so easy to find the flaws in someone who's in the public eye. You know,
oh, yeah.
Because if I were in the public eye, they would see all sorts of indecent things.
Yeah, I don't want to be famous.
I'm not ready yet.
It's not that I'm an indecent person. It's just I don't want to be famous. Because sure. you do one thing or you say the wrong thing, especially in today's society. You say the wrong thing and, oh, you're evil. It's like, dude, chill. Everybody.
And I don't need y'all to tell me anything I don't know already.
Yeah. So, anyway, we digest.
Yes, we have digested. We find out that the boys have been burned.
Yes, big time.
So that's the big point of this whole episode is the boys have been burned. They have to get out of wherever they're at. They have to go in hiding. They need help is the big thing is, you're burned. Like I was thinking about that. If I got burned for whatever reason, say I were some sort of spy or in a situation, what the hell would I do? I don't know where I would go. Like what would be my first plan? I guess, if you're in that scenario, you're thinking about the possibility of being burned, and so you plan accordingly. But it's that's
but for the average Joe, I mean, you know, you think about all the collateral people around them. You know, you've got MM's wife and kid, right. And you've got Huey's dad, which, by the way, played by the wonderful Simon Pegg. You know, he's Simon Pegg is the basis for Huey in the comic.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so
me and Josh talked about that in the first episode.
Oh, that's right. Awesome. Y'all brought it up. Yeah. And it was a neat moment when, you know, you got Billy shaking his hand and them introducing themselves. And I thought that was kind of a sweet little nod to the comic book. I appreciated that.
Yeah. And man, I love Simon Pegg. It's the perfect scenario where he's this dad who, and he said it at the very beginning, like he has no fight. He never has.
Yeah.
And he didn't think that Huey would have any fight as well. And there's almost like.
And it turns out he's proud of Huey. He apologizes to him. He says, man, I'm sorry about all this. I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, don't apologize. He's like, you stood up for yourself. I'm proud of that. Exactly. So it was a good little father-son moment
there. That was a pretty tense scene because. You know, before that, we find out that A-Train, you know, calls Huey from his dad's phone. And that's
scenario
you don't want to happen. The person you've been trying to get revenge on now knows you were trying to get revenge and has your father.
Yeah, and he says, and you better come alone. Don't even think about bringing anybody with you.
And by the way, he's a superhero and he can just blast through his dad the same way he did his girlfriend. So,
and so Huey shows up. Alone-ish.
Alone-ish is the key. So he's basically, you know, and that's kind of going back to like the average Joe planning, you know, a backup plan. You know, Huey is the average Joe. And we've seen him go throughout this whole thing. But it's important that we're seeing these changes start to happen. And he's kind of thinking on his feet in a way that suggest, you know, he would be more prone to fight rather than flight. So it's interesting seeing him as a character unfold into like, he's not super, he's not even really a badass, but he's doing what needs to be done to protect his family and the people that he loves. So
that's right. Well, we go back to that. We had that moment with him and Butcher earlier in the episode. Was it this episode or was it the one before? Anyway, where they have the conversation about, you know, Butcher says, you know, you don't do it anymore. And he's like, what? And he's like, you don't have that, you know, that look like you're in a chair and you lean back and you catch yourself. He's like, you don't have that look anymore. He's like, you're just, you know, steel determination now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've got this acknowledgement that yes, we're seeing what we're supposed to see.
Right.
It's like our perception in this situation is correct. Huey is becoming a different person.
Exactly. And it's cool to see. So he which we find out that he's like actually pretty decent at planning things and a smooth talker, which is not the way he was in the first episode. You know, he couldn't even ask for a raise. And now here he is like talking his way around a superhero, you know, bribing him with Compound V.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like telling A-Train he's going to give him this Compound V if he'll just let his dad go and the whole workaround. And so A-Train ends up going for it because he's an addict and he needs
straight
this
up.
Thing. Yeah. And so obviously he buys, you know, plays right into Huey's plan. And but then an awesome justice scene. Female pops out of like a AC duct.
Yeah, out of that return register and just kind of sneaks in and kneecaps him.
She does that a lot.
Oh, it's like man.
Her signature move.
Oh, and his leg. Oh.
Yeah.
The bone's
sticking
just,
out.
Oh, that had to hurt.
A compound fracture situation.
But if you're going to take out a speedster, I mean, what better way than to take his leg out?
Yeah. And so that's awesome. So. Because, like, A-Train was already kind of dealing, you know, in that whole exchange, he's dealing with killing Popclaw, and, you know, he's got
It's almost like a therapy session, right?
Right.
Where he's working it out in his mind. He's like, but he's justifying his own actions. It's like it's a reverse therapy session where he's like, no, this is your fault, Huey. This all happens because of you. He's like, what happened to you is what happened, to me, what I did was an accident. What you did was a choice.
Right.
But of course he's failing to acknowledge the fact that he made a choice to kill Popclaw, but he's doesn't want to see it that way.
Yeah. And he also, made a choice to run Compound V.
He's made a lot of bad choices
that led to him doing this terrible blasting through a girlfriend crime. So it's cool. It's cool to see him kind of break down as being this like super cocky, like fast guy. Too, we see that he's not the fastest guy in the world anymore. And now this mofo's got a leg broken, and how does the speedster come back from having his leg broken without having super healing speed like female? So that'll be interesting. It'll be cool to see where he goes from there, how he rebounds from this. So the boys get out, they're in hiding, families get out, Huey's dad gets away because Butcher calls what's her name, the chick who, the agent. I can't remember.
I'm blanked out too. I just remember. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So he calls her and he gets, basically makes a deal with her. He'll give her the sample of Compound V and she will provide protection for the loved ones of the boys, which is
and the one thing that Butcher doesn't get is hands off Homelander.
Right.
Because he wanted him prosecuted and that's not going to happen, but he gets everything else. So he makes the right decision. He makes the right call. He makes the call for the greater good of his people, and he just saved some lives with that phone call.
Yeah. So that's a big blow to Butcher because he went from feeling like he was pretty close to then being even further away than he was at the beginning, because now people know what Homelander has done, and he's not allowed to do anything about it. So
that's a tough situation. No one's allowed to do anything about it, as it turns out.
You just kind of have to let him be, which sucks that no justice can come of this. So going on to Homelander, he finds out, in last episode, some things about himself. He sees this blue blanket, and he moves on to like want to kind of search into maybe some of the lies that he's being told, because he feels like he's being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
So he searches for answers of what happened with Becca, Butcher, and Madeline Stillwell. Pretty much answers him with lies. And
she plays it off like, I don't remember. Who was this again? Oh, no, I thought she just quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's super obvious. And he can hear heartbeats. He can, read a person's.
Sure. I mean, he can gestures. Smell pheromones. He can hear heartbeats. Yeah. He's basically a walking, talking lie detector.
Yeah. He's not a great person to lie to. Obviously, he sees right through that. So he goes looking for the truth. So Homelander tracks down Dr. Vogelbaum?
Vogelbaum.
Nailed it.
You nailed it, buddy. Did you notice he was at Billy Madison's house?
No.
That's the house from Billy Madison, the mansion from Billy Madison.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I totally didn't realize that.
The exterior, anyway, that's what that is. That's the where he rides the jet ski through the pond. That's it.
Yep. Wow. That is awesome. So this leads to like one of the best, consecutive scenes going on is with Homelander and Dr. Vogelbaum. So basically revealing to Homelander that, yes, you were a lab rat. We raised you and we pumped you full of this Compound V. And the doctor is like expressing some regret and he's apologizing for how he raised him because it wasn't humane. He actually calls Homelander his greatest failure.
Yeah, Homelander says, man, I'm the world's greatest superhero. He says, no, you're my greatest failure. says, you should have been raised with loving, nurturing parents. He's like, then you might be able to empathize with people. Then you might not be this sociopathic monster. And Homelander doesn't want to hear that.
No. And it's crazy because Homelander's this guy that you watch throughout this whole show so far. And every time he's in a scene, I'm constantly like, who is he about to kill? Like at any moment, he's super unpredictable. And I like that about his character, that you don't know when he's going to kill somebody, even somebody who might be close to him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not that he necessarily cares, but
he seems a bit unstable.
Like no one's safe in the moment.
Right. Like, yeah. It's like anyone can die at any moment.
Yeah. But you feel like, you know, okay, Butcher's safe, whatever. Like some people are safe because the story has to continue. But there's also this like weird doubt that you have in your mind because he's so unpredictable and insane.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he's prodding around asking a lot of questions, and they get to talking about Becca, and discovers that like after his apparent rape of her, she died in childbirth, the doctor tells her.
Yeah. And he says, I thought I couldn't have kids. And he's like, well, I thought so too.
Yeah. But nature, life finds a way.
Yeah. Life finds a way.
Yes. So finds out that she died because this monster Homelander child is clawing its way out of her.
Yeah.
Which is gnarly. Horrible.
And it was a horrific scene to watch.
Listen, childbirth is already terrifying. Like,
that's what I've heard.
Not that I can relate at all. I can't, you know. No. Obviously, no one's trying to say that, but I saw my wife go through it, and damn it, it's intense. It's intense to watch. I can't imagine being in that situation. So, hey, if you've been through childbirth, kudos to you. You're a fucking hero. You're insane. Yeah,
you are. And
yeah,
but oh man, and then to pile on this superhuman baby that is literally clawing its way out. Right. Man, it's cringeworthy.
Ugh, yeah. So, that's a terrible way to go.
Yes.
I can imagine. So yeah, we find out a lot there, and it's an awesome scene because like throughout that whole thing, Homelander is, like I was saying, super unpredictable and you can't really read him, but it's so intense, that exchange between him and the doctor. Like, because every time the doctor would speak, I'd be like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have called him a failure. And then, you know, I'm thinking he's about to get fried up, cut in half with laser eyes. But there's still like this, Homelander needs to know more, and you're going to stay alive now because you're serving a purpose.
Right.
So it was really intense. Yeah, so going on, Butcher acquires Immonen's request. That chick was called Raynor. I made a note specifically because I knew I would forget their name. So Special Agent Raynor.
Thank you.
But yeah.
Because so, I couldn't remember either.
Yeah,
it was like making me crazy.
All my notes. I was like,
it was making me crazy.
What is her name? There it is. So yeah, so we know that they helped out. We have people going and being held, you know, put into witness protection. But Butcher does something terrible again, you know, stack it on. He meets up with Mesmer and he wants some answers as to why they've been burned.
Oh, yeah, because we know it was Mesmer that burned him, because he's trying to get back in. He's trying to get back in the good graces of Vought. And so he gave him up to Homelander.
Yeah, and Butcher's
not happy.
His face.
Well, I thought it was interesting too, because he drags him out of that stall in the turlet, and he grabs him and holds on to him and stares him down, and you can just see him. He's just pumping all these memories and these thoughts into this guy's head. He's like, "Let me show you my pain," is what I'm reading there, and it's just. And you see Mesmer just break down, like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
He's like, uh-oh. And he realizes at the very end that he screwed up.
It was like did you ever watch Preacher?
Yeah, I've seen the first two seasons.
It was like a scene from Preacher when he would just grab people's faces and do the whatever his move was, like some sort of justice move. So it just kind of reminded me of that. Just like feel my pain, look into my soul, and it was so much to handle. So much hate and betrayal and
And then Butcher killed him.
Oh yeah. He beat his head into
brutal fashion.
Yes.
Which, as I was watching that, I was thinking, you know, this is way more realistic than in the movies. Because in the movies, the sink, the porcelain sink always breaks.
It always breaks.
Yeah, that thing ain't breaking.
It's a tough thing.
No. If a face smashes into it, it's not breaking. If a sledgehammer smashes into it, okay.
Oh, sure.
But a person's face, nah.
Faces are not hammers.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
That was brutal.
This episode was had some straight up gore to it.
It was pretty gnarly.
They pulled no punches.
A lot going on. And then going on to wrap it up. So the final scene, basically, Huey is sitting down with Annie and she wants answers and he wants to give her answers. And so she knows all about his lying and betrayal and he gets together to try to explain some things. But he's still kind of revealing things and he's not necessarily apologizing. He's just coming from a place of like, yes, this stuff is happening. I need you to be on my side. I still need help. And she's too angry. She wants to take him into custody.
Yep.
But
she lets him go.
Yeah. So she lets him go and it's all good. But Butcher kind of puts the nail in the coffin, what seems like. I don't see how people come back from this. He pops her twice in the chest with what looked like...
It looked like a Barrett 50 cal.
Yeah, it looked like the 50 cal they were using with the...
But it gives us an idea of how strong she really is, of how tough she really is. So
really
we get to see that. But, I mean, it knocked the wind out of her.
Yeah.
Took the wind out her sails, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, don't you know?
Oh, don't you know?
So, put her down. So that's a whole thing. Now it's like, yes, I've lied to you, and my friend just shot you twice with a Barrett 50 cal. Also,
and I'm going to run off with my friend
about that.
That just shot
you. I'm not going to try to help you in your situation because, you know, I truly don't know if that killed you or not, but I'm going to take off. Hopefully we can reconcile. Next episode, we'll see. But, I got to go. Not a great look for Huey.
No, not a good look for him.
Not a good look at all. So,
I mean, on the one hand, can you blame him? I mean, at that point, you'd got to be terrified. But on the other hand,
sure.
I mean, come on, not a good look, bro.
Yeah, she might just stand up and blind them both. So,
she could.
Probably good idea to take off.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have a lot to wrap up.
So it's just the fit has really hit the shan, as they say, in this episode. And how are they going to tie up this in a bow in one episode? I can't wait.
It is wild. We have to figure out and get to the bottom of Homelander. What is he going to do, knowing what he knows? We have to, you know, hopefully reconcile Huey and Annie and, you know, maybe see them fix something or not. We got all the boys who are in hiding and, you know, camped out. We have their families just out there. Like, there's just
got Frenchie and MM and the female. They've all been captured at this point. Yeah. So we got, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And we got to know what happens with the Deep.
Exactly. And we'll find out more about the Deep. He actually, was it in this episode that he was up to some weird things where he ended up having a girl stick her fingers in his gills?
Yeah, that was this episode.
That was pretty uncomfortable.
So he got himself assaulted. That was very uncomfortable. Now, he had it coming. He straight up deserved what he got.
If anyone deserved to be fish raped in the gills,
it was the Deep.
It was Deep.
Yeah. So he got his uppance came and wrecked shop.
She was knuckles deep in his gills.
It was
uncomfortable.
That was very uncomfortable to watch.
Oh, God. Ooh, creepy. Anyways,
so,
that is it for us this time. I want to take care of a little bit of business. So we just want to remind y'all to make sure you stop by the website. It's recap.fm and sign up to be a part of the mailing list. You're going to get a lot of information, mainly pertaining to shows that are coming out. Not going to get spam, random shit like that. You're literally just going to get what's coming out, giveaways that we have coming.
Yeah, and we do have some giveaways coming. So we do. Stay tuned for that.
There's gonna be some. Actually just talking.
Yeah, we're going to do some. We've got some cool stuff for this first round. So get on that mailing list, y'all.
Yes, it's important, and you'll be on the know, and you'll have first dibs on trying to get the thing that we're giving away. So
yeah,
it's good stuff. Free things. Who can turn that down? So yeah, and then just one more thing. Our social media is Recap FM. That's on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes. So please give us a follow and you know, shout out at us if you will.
Holler back.
No, seriously, we want to hear from you. So tell us what you think of the episodes and what you think of what we're doing and what you think of the shows, and you know, let's get a conversation going.
For sure, it's gonna be fun. That's it for us. One more episode, Seal.
One, I know, dude. What are we gonna do after this? Well, first of all, how are we gonna wrap it up? And second of all, what are we gonna do after this? I'm gonna be inconsolable.
I know. We're gonna be off in a corner somewhere.
No, we're gonna be off in a corner recording about 20 other shows that we got coming out. So another reason to get on the mailing list, because we got a lot of stuff coming out in the fall. So.
Yep. All right. Well, that's it for us. My name's Jason. This has been a great time. I hope you'll see you next time.
Later.